the world may believe. And that certainly is our prayer. May God's blessing be on this week of prayer of Christian unity around the world, and especially here in Beckenham. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this wonderful theme of your forgiveness and the power of your forgiveness, the love and the grace of your forgiveness, and as we start our message in this 32nd psalm that's been read to us, we pray that you would open the word of God today, that you would open your word and bless us and minister to us and encourage us and help us in our daily life. As we ask this in your name, amen. For those of you who are cricket followers, you may know that New Zealand cricket is going through one of its best spells in history. We have won the last 12 matches across all formats of cricket, beating the West Indies, beating Pakistan in every match we've played. I will be diplomatic and not comment on English cricket at the moment, but let me say that we are looking forward to the end of this month when New Zealand takes on England, and then England cricket is coming to New Zealand in February through April. I hope I can still boast at the end of April, but we may well see. But as well as being a good cricket side, New Zealand has produced some great films. And you may remember The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, that was shown on television here yesterday, are just some of the films. One of the ones you may not have seen is Once Were Warriors. Once Were Warriors is sadly a very realistic portrayal of domestic violence among some of the Maori people of New Zealand and in our homes. I confess to you, it is a film that I have not been able to watch. I have tried, and I just simply cannot watch violence. It breaks my heart. But I want to tell you the story this morning of a man named Peter Fonga. Peter Fonga is a Maori of my country of New Zealand, and his life was very, very similar to that portrayed in the film Once Were Warriors, if you have seen that film. Peter was an alcoholic by the age of 9. He was addicted to drugs by the age of 10. He was an unruly and a violent person even as a child, but worse was to come. As he grew into his teenage and young adult years, he formed one of the most aggressive and violent gangs New Zealand has ever seen, in both Wellington and Auckland. When I heard him speak, he shared with me things that he had done that I would never repeat in a church. He had no respect for women. Women were only to be used and beaten. He had no respect for any person. He was taught by uncles and other men that real men drink, real men are violent, real men don't cry. And of course, he had no faith in God. He didn't even believe there was a God. And as you may well imagine, Peter spent many years in our New Zealand prisons. In prison, he had so much power that he could tell men to kiss his feet, and they would. He had guards who would yield to his many wishes. But to use his own words, he says, "I was empty inside." He felt nothing. And it was in prison that he heard the voice of God. And he experienced the power of Jesus and the power of forgiveness. Let me tell you what he said to me. He says, one night, and by the way, you can look on Google Peter Fonga and you can actually hear him give his own testimony, much fuller than I am giving. But any one night in prison, he felt so bad that he actually called out to God in despair and distress. He had reached the end. And he cried, "God, if you are there, help me." And at that moment, he heard the voice of God speak and say, Peter, Peter, I love you, and I have always loved you. And then he felt a power or a feeling moving through his body from the toes to the top of his head. And he found himself lying on the floor in a bubbling heap, just sobbing and sobbing like a little baby. And he who had never cried in his life could not stop crying. But what was more, in a moment, in a split second, he was freed from alcoholism. He was set free from drug addiction, and he learned to respect, honor, and appreciate people, and came to a deep and vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. He was a totally new man. He now tells others about Jesus, and in New Zealand, he is a drug and an alcohol counselor. I love you and have always loved you. Peter Fonga will tell you what it's like to be forgiven. It is so liberating. It is so transforming. It is so freeing. To be forgiven by God is to feel and to know that you are loved, deeply loved, truly loved. Blessed is he, says the psalmist. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. That is the testimony of Peter Fonga. Or a more modern translation puts it, count yourself lucky. How happy you must be. You get a fresh start. Your slate's wiped clean. Count yourself lucky. God holds nothing against you, and you are holding nothing back on him. Friends, I am so thrilled to be able to share with you today in your current series, and especially on this topic of what it feels like to be forgiven by God. It is really this that I spent 2 years during my term as moderator, going around the country of New Zealand, trying to encourage the saints, because I am convinced after over 40 years in ministry that one of the biggest things that is holding back the Christian church from mission in the Western world is that so many of us are unsure of the power of the cross. We are unsure that we are forgiven. We have, many have, but many haven't still experienced that knowledge of what it feels like to be forgiven. Or God might forgive other people, but not me. Oh, if only people knew what I had done. Or on the other hand, they may believe that God has forgiven them, but they struggle with forgiving themselves. Self-forgiveness can be so hard. Now, I know that most of us sitting in church today will not have had a life experience like Peter Fonga. He is an extreme example, but the principles of forgiveness are the same, and the outcome is the same. The outcome is a new start. When we are forgiven, the slate is wiped clean, and we are born again. We are given a new start. Well, how did it happen? Let's think about this guy, Peter Fonga. How did it happen that he experienced the power of forgiveness? How did he know what it felt like to be forgiven? What was it to be forgiven by God? Well, I can tell you, first of all, it was not repentance. It was not faith. It was not belief. It was not keeping the law, because he did none of those things, not one part of those things about that leads to forgiveness and the knowledge of forgiveness was his experience. The only thing that happened that brought him to the knowledge of forgiveness was the power of the Holy Spirit, an encounter with Holy Spirit who simply told him of God's love. Do you remember Jesus once said, I will send you a helper. I will send you a comforter. I will send you a counselor. What does the counselor tell us? The counselor tells us how much we are loved. And this encounter with Holy Spirit dropped him to the floor. You see, what Holy Spirit was doing, please hear this. What Holy Spirit was doing was showing Peter his true identity. You see, it was while we were sinners, says Paul, the Apostle Paul. It was while we were sinners that Christ died for us. It was not when we're perfect. It's when we are in the midst of sin that Christ died. And instantly Peter was healed. He was a new creation. He was born again. He was given a fresh start. And then came repentance. Then came faith. Then came a righteous lifestyle. Then came fulfillment of the law. Not in a legalistic sense of obedience under duress, but in the true liberty, the free liberty of Jesus that Paul speaks about in Galatians. These things like repentance, faith, righteousness, lifestyle followed in encounter with God. They did not precede the encounter. And Peter's now sharing that good news with others. If you have your Bibles, or if you have a pew Bible there in front of you, you might want to turn with me to Romans chapter 7. When we are talking about this whole question of sin and forgiveness, Romans 7 is one of the most profound passages, and there's a passage then that begins in Romans 7:7 about struggling with sin. And I would want to say to you that I actually think this is one of the hardest passages of Scripture to understand. We can roll over this just so quickly, but it is actually a hard passage to understand and embrace in this matter of sin and forgiveness. I'm going to look just at Romans 7:15. So even though the passage starts, and you might want to go back to that later on today, come with me to verse 15, where Paul speaks about this inner conflict of forgiveness. And I believe this is a profound passage that should help liberate us and free us, particularly from the struggle of self-forgiveness. And to know the liberty of self-forgiveness and to know what it feels like. Paul writes, and he says this, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. You ever felt like that? I sure have. And he says this, but it's no longer I myself who do it. It's the sin living within me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what's good, but I can't carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now listen to this, and I've got it in bold there in front of you. Now, says Paul, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it. How do you understand that? One could debate for hours the moral argument that Paul is putting up here. And listen to what Paul's saying. Is he passing the buck when he says, if I sin, it's not me? It's sin. Well, that gets Paul off the hook, doesn't it? Well, you might think so, but that's not what Paul is saying. When he's saying, when I sin, it's not my fault, or if I sin, it's not me, it's the sin within me, what's he really saying? And again, please hear me at this. The key thing is, he is not tying his identity to his sin or to his behavior. As a Christian, his true identity is in Christ, not his behavior or I sin. I think what Paul would say is something like this. I don't tell God about my sin. I tell sin about my God. There's a huge difference. Our God is the God who has defeated sin. And so when Paul sins, he tells the sin and his behavior about the wonder of his God. My God has defeated sin. Paul knows and understands the power and the purpose of the cross. The power and the purpose of the cross is perfect. The power and the purpose of the cross cannot be improved on. It does not need to be repeated. The power of the cross is complete. And so if Paul sins today, or you sin today, or I sin today, Jesus will not have to go back to the cross again. Because our sin is forgiven in the cross. The past, the present, and the future sin is forgiven already. And thus he writes, if we sin, we have an advocate, one who will speak on my behalf. I am not my sin, and my sin is not me. I am a redeemed child of God, loved and adored. Or to use the biblical phrase, I am the apple of God's eye. You are the apple of God's eye. That's what it's like to be forgiven. And that's why Paul writes, and if you can see on the same page probably, as soon as he's finished writing that, he then starts off Romans chapter 8, which says, therefore, because my identity is in Christ and not my sin, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lastly, I'd just like you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. And here I'm going to just look at, if you start at verse 15 in Colossians 1:15, we get that beautiful passage about the supremacy of Christ. And then right after those amazing words, he says, and listen to this, he says, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, or in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. There it is, the centrality of the cross in forgiveness. And then he goes on, once you were alienated by God or from God and were enemies in your minds. You see, where are we enemies from God in our minds? It's the way we think. And often it's the way we think about ourselves and our shame and our guilt and our sin. And it alienates us from God. In your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body, the death, to present you, and listen to this, holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. And what is the good news? That in Christ you are forgiven. And in Christ, in God's eyes, you are holy in his sight. You are without blemish. You are free from accusation. That's what it feels like to be forgiven. And I would say, if you take one thing away from today's message, please take this. What does it feel like to be forgiven by God? Today you know that you are a person forgiven by God. You are a person who has been touched by the cross. And that you are you not maybe, you are holy in God's sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. That is how God sees you, friends. I wonder if you can say to yourself in the quietness of your heart, I am holy in God's sight. I am without blemish. I am free from accusation. If we could accept and believe this, people would no longer be crippled by guilt and shame. We would live the resurrection life that God calls us to, his followers. You see, picking up that passage in Romans 7, the cross has changed your identity. That's what Paul's talking about. The cross has changed your identity from sinner to saint. The resurrection motivates us in mission and convinces us that we are loved. And Holy Spirit, as the other helper, empowers us in mission and speaks gently to us every day that we are no longer under condemnation. Dear friends in Christ Church, hear the voice of God saying to you today, I love you. I love you. And I have always loved you. Father, may your word empower us and impact us, and may it minister to us throughout the week that lies ahead. Help us, O God, to meditate on these words of Scripture that we have heard in church this day, to the glory and honor of your name. Amen. We sing our next hymn. It is